Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. And now a message from Pastor Joey Valkersell.
Amen. Well, like I said, I'm excited for tonight. We are kicking off our Purpose Month tonight. And so in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about, well, you guessed it, purpose. And as God begins to unpack and begins to show us his purposes for our lives and begins to give us some understanding and some clarity as to those things, I believe that it's going to really benefit us and that it's going to give us some clarity. It's going to begin to give us some vision, some direction. How many of you could say, how many today would raise your hand and say, man, I'd love to have a little bit more vision, a little bit more clarity, a little bit more direction for my life, some passion for my life, some efficiency in my life. And I really believe that those are some of the benefits that come along with understanding God's purposes for our life. So that's just another quick plug on this month's topic. I think it's a cool topic. And so keep on coming. And God's going to speak to us some really cool things. You know, let me open with this. If you don't know your purpose, what do you aim for? If you don't know your purpose or what God's purposes are, what are you striving for today? I mean, what goals do we set for our lives? You know, purpose, when we understand, and I really want to put an emphasis on this aspect of it, that when we understand God's purpose, you know, I think a lot of us sometimes are after just purpose in general, and sometimes it can come from a little bit of a selfish ambition, kind of condition of the heart. But I want to encourage you today that as you seek and as you pursue your purpose, that you would begin to look to God and say, God, what is your purpose? And then, Lord, what is your purpose as it relates to my life? And as we begin to understand and discover that and define that, that's what's going to really begin to give us the focus that we need. I remember some time ago, I read the blog of a young person, and I've dealt with young people for now many years, and I was the youth and young adults pastor before I became the worship pastor here, and so young people were kind of my thing for maybe about seven or eight years-ish. And so I remember reading this blog post by this young person, and they were simply contemplating out loud their kind of perspective on life. And begin to talk about, you know, the daily routine or the cycle that they felt that they were in. And they kind of were looking out at the rest of humanity, kind of saying, I think everybody else is kind of in the same cycle. We're kind of in the same circle of life. You remember that Lion King song? It's the circle of life. And it moves us all. I'm not singing tonight, so I don't have to sing good. All right, so it's a circle, and they talk about, you know, I get up in the morning, I brush my teeth, I do my hair, I eat my breakfast, and then I head off to my job, or I head off to my school, and, you know, to get the paycheck or to get the degree, and then when I'm all done, I come back home, I have my evening meal, and I go to bed, and then I wake up the next day, and I do the same thing all over again. Back to brushing my teeth and brushing my hair and eating my breakfast and preparing for the day, and day after day, it just seems to be the same thing. And then they begin to ask this question, what's the point? What's the purpose of life? And as I read this, man, you could just feel the hopelessness in this blog post. It was like they had no direction. They had no purpose. They had no point. To them, life was just, you could sense the floundering that happens in life without God. All right, is anybody here today? With life without God, you're gonna find yourself without a purpose. Life without God, you're gonna find yourself without direction. And so what we'll find is that we'll live this life of imbalance, this life of floundering, this life of grasping at things. I like how we put it here at The Rock. We live life from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we just go grasping after whatever we think is good. It's interesting if you look at that story of Adam and Eve, how the woman actually decided to eat of the tree that God told her not to. She looked at it and it said it was pleasing to her eye. Listen today, people, just because it looks good, just because it feels good, and just because you want it doesn't make it good. We need God in our life to come along and begin to give us purpose and direction as to what we need and what we want. And then life begins to make sense. I want to read this quote to you from, he's a secular a secular poet and playwright from the 1800s, Oscar Wilde. He wrote this: "It is because humanity has never known where it was going that it has never..." Praise the Lord. "It is because humanity has never known where it was going that it has never been able to find its way." That's deep. And that comes from a secular person. Let me read that again. "It is because humanity has never known where it was going that it has never been able to find its way." What a stunning admission from a person. I don't really know where I'm headed, and so I don't really know how to find my way. You know, it's interesting when you contrast the life of a person who has purpose versus the life of a person who does not. A life of a person who has purpose, man, they've got a focus. And they don't get off at every exit of foolishness and every exit of nonsense and waste time and waste energy and waste life. Versus the person who has, they'll try every exit. They'll try every exit available. Are you hearing me today? So here we see this. I just thought this quote was so telling and such a stunning admission of humanity without God. We're lost. But oh, come on somebody today. When you meet up with Jesus, all of a sudden you find the meaning of life and you find purpose. Come on, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I love Isaiah 53:6. It says, all we like, that's you, that's me, that's the prophet Isaiah, that's the apostle Paul, that's every last human being who's ever walked the face of the earth. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord, thank God, has laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. So when we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins, God, because of his love and because of his rich mercy, came and made us alive together in Christ Jesus. And now we have purpose, and now we have identity, and now we can begin to discern right from wrong, good from evil, the direction that God would have us to go versus being under the sway of the wicked one. Is anybody in the house today? I'm getting a little bit excited about the fact that we've met up with God and now we have the ability to find purpose. I want to quote to you the lyrics of an old song. I'm not going to sing it tonight. It's so old. I'll just ruin it, all right? Just listen to the words, all right? It said, "I bowed at altars of gold and silver, but as I knelt there, they turned to rust. So I'll worship at the feet of Jesus, his cup alone, my holy grail. There'll be no other gods before me. Just Jesus alone will never fail." Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Does anybody out there realize that you've wasted some time and you've gotten involved in some things that, man, I wish I never did that. But thank God today we've met up with Jesus. And so we have found the meaning of life and we have found purpose for ourselves. Now, why is this? Well, because God is a God of purpose. God is a God of purpose. God is not a God of chaos. God is not a God of mayhem. God is not a God of happenstance and chance and accident. That's not how God does his stuff. God is a God of purpose. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. This whole thing of time, space, and matter, this is his thing. This is what he has set into motion. I want you to know today, it's going to be the thing that he finishes at the end. And how many of you know that the word history is really his story? So he's from beginning to end and all the way through the middle. And this thing called life is going to go in the direction that God called it to go and that God purposed it to go, because he's a God of purpose. And so don't you know today then that God has a purpose for your life? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, so let me slow down just a moment. And I just want to show you in scripture quickly that the scripture tells us and teaches us that God is a God of purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11, let me read it to you. It says, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." Look at that. God is a God of purpose. And the Bible tells us right here that he has predestined things, really us, speaking of right here, but it's predestined things according to the purpose of him or of himself who works all things according to the counsel of his will. He's a God of purpose. I tried to limit the amount of verses that I added, but I just had to add this one because it's like one of my favorite. All right, that's my admission tonight. But 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, I love it so much. It says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested." Look at this. There's a reason why Jesus came. There's a reason why Jesus showed up. There's a reason why Jesus appeared and walked the face of the earth. God wasn't like, oh, I think this is a cool idea. Let's try this out. No, no, no. There is a purpose behind Jesus' arrival. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Ooh, I like that. Hey, listen, that's good news for us today. And you know what? If you are facing any kind of demonic opposition, any kind of demonic oppression today, I've got news for you that God has a purpose for that thing. And his sole purpose for that thing in your life is to destroy it and to wipe it out. So stop putting up with it. Stop making excuses for the devil. Stop allowing him to run rampant over your life and take God at his word and say, devil, you got to get out of my life. You got to get off of my heart. You got to get out of my mind. Leave my family alone. Let go of my finances. I am free in the name of Jesus, because Jesus showed up for this reason, to destroy your works. And too often we just kind of go through life and we accept, you know, life as it is. We need to recognize the enemy at work. We need to do something about it. But again, the bigger point is to say that, you know what, God is a God of purpose. And we see that Scripture teaches us that he is purposeful in what he does. How about this? God has a purpose for his church. Ephesians chapter 3, you're not turning there, we're going real quick here, but Ephesians chapter 3, 10 and 11, says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has a purpose for his church. God has a purpose for what he created. God has always been a God of purpose. And now we're starting to hone in a little bit. And we're starting to realize, hey, God has a purpose for his church. How many know today God has a purpose for the Rock Church and World Outreach Center? We've been going for 31 years. Did I get that right? And we're just scratching the surface, y'all. Come on. God did not plan for this church to get started and then to quit one day. All right? God's got a purpose and a plan. God's not a quitter. God's got a purpose and a plan for his church, okay? And then we see this in Scripture, that God has a purpose for our lives. I love this in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 4. I love it because it's so personal. And it really shows that, hey, yes, God has a purpose for the whole earth and for all of eternity. And God has a purpose for the church. And sometimes in some of these big turns, we may feel a little lost and a little bit forgotten, a little bit, you know, passed over. But God sees you just where you're at. And God has the hairs of your head numbered. Praise the Lord. How many know that God cares about you? Has anybody out there ever tried to count the hairs on your head? Okay, I got one guy, or one guy. Most of us don't care enough about ourselves to start, I better leave that one alone since he raised his hand. No, but God cares so much about you that he would number the hairs of your head. And I've said this before, I'll say it again because I like it so much. That doesn't mean he knows how many hairs are on your head. He's got them all numbered. So when you lose number 236,547, he knows. He knows. You pulled it loose as you were brushing your hair. Oop, there went number 2,000, whatever I said. God knows, because he cares so much about you. And he has a purpose for your life. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 4, he's speaking of Jeremiah here. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Ooh, I like that. Before you were born, I sanctified you. That is, I set you apart. I ordained you, or I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Does anybody else see purpose in this verse? It is full of God's purpose for this man by the name of Jeremiah. But how many know we can see that the same is true about our lives? And that is this, that God knew you before you were born. Hey, listen, you may be here today, you may feel like an accident. I've heard stories of people who, man, my parents got together in the drunken stupor in the backseat of a car, and they had no idea. I don't even know who my mom is, or I don't even know who my dad is, or I'm still searching them out today. And I want you to know today that there are no accidents when it comes to God. And if you are part of God's family, you are part of a family, you have a father, and God has a purpose for your life. There's no such thing as illegitimate children when it comes to God. So don't you ever wear that shame on your life. God has a purpose for you and a plan for you. Human mistake or not, God knew just what he was doing when you came into the earth. God knew you while you were being formed, before you're formed in your mother's womb. Then I like this. It says that he set him apart. He sanctified him or set him apart. You know, I happen to be a sports fan, and so I've been looking at, you know, the NBA and was really hoping the Lakers would sign AD. That all went to shambles. And by the way, I'd blame the Pelicans all the way. I hate the Pelicans. No, I'm just kidding. All right, anyways, I better leave that alone. But let me say this, that they're going to have the All-Star game soon. And so they did, they've been doing the All-Star game a little bit different. They used to do, you know, just the All-Stars on the West versus the All-Stars on the East. Well, the last couple of years, they've been having some All-Stars, maybe the top two All-Stars, be the captains. And then they would select from either side, West or East, and they would create their team. And so this year was LeBron, and I forgot the name of the guy from the Milwaukee Bucks, but they were selecting the All-Stars that they wanted for their All-Star team for this one game that they're going to play in hopes to beat the others. And so so when we look at this word sanctified, and when we're looking at set apart, it's as though what it's saying is that God has personally selected you and me. Just like LeBron James, he got his list of all-stars. I got them all lined up here. These are the ones I want. So I'm gonna meticulously and carefully choose as I choose, and then he chooses, and we take turns going back and forth. I'm gonna do the best job I can to get, but God has set you apart on his list, and God has selected you because he has purpose for your life. And then I like that last part. It says, and he has appointed, Jeremiah, a prophet to the nations. And God has a plan for your life. God has a specific function for you to fulfill. In fact, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 4-8. We'll find this. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Or you could actually put the word purpose there. Actually, this word function, its definition is this: an activity that is natural to or the purpose of a person or thing. Okay? So for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function or purpose, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Did you know today that God has graced your life? He has appointed you. Maybe there is some prophets in the room. Maybe there's some pastors. Maybe there's some teachers. But God has graced our life. And it says, and how God has graced us, let us use these gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, I don't believe this is an extensive list. I think this is a nice long list to kind of give us an example that God has graced each one of us individually in his body, and he has a function for us to fulfill. God has something for you to do. God has a sustained activity. That's another little definition for that word function. For you to do. Do you know what it is today? Maybe you have begun to discover what it is today. And so the exhortation and the encouragement is that, hey, number one, God has a purpose. And as you begin to discover it, God wants you to use it in proportion to your faith. As you've come to understand, and as you see God and you sense God working in your life and moving through you, man, God wants to use your life for his glory and for his kingdom. So before we get onto our points, let's just recap my intro. That's just my intro, y'all. I'm sorry. God is a God of purpose. He has a purpose for his church, and he has a purpose for our individual lives. Is anybody thankful today? What are we talking about? We're talking about purpose, all right? So the question that becomes, well, what is my God-given purpose? I'm glad you asked. This is how we're going to approach our points tonight. Discovering your purpose requires, okay? Everybody got that? Discovering your purpose requires, number one, making God your primary purpose. Ooh, I like this. Making God your primary purpose. Now, this may seem simple. This may seem, well, I think I kind of already knew that, Pastor Joe. But I think it's a little bit harder for us to actually put into practice. I mentioned a little bit earlier how, you know, we can get in this mode of kind of chasing after purpose. And we can actually kind of do it, you know, excluding God. But that will never work. You cannot separate your God-given purpose and God. Like, it doesn't even make sense, right? Because it's God's given purpose. You follow me today? And so, but oftentimes we try and do this. And we need to make sure that our first pursuit and our first purpose is to know him. It is to just, God, I'm showing up today and I'm seeking you, not so that you can do so many mighty things in my life, but just so that I can know you. I mean, the scripture tells us those who know their God will carry out great exploits. It's in the relationship with God that all the rest of the stuff follows. But all of a sudden, when we try to separate God from our purpose, you know, all of a sudden we get into this place where we may become a little savvy to our purpose, but then we'll start to use our purpose in the wrong way. You know, God has, I suppose, God has called me to sing just a little bit. Amen. All right. And so I can kind of know some of the gifts and talents in my life. But if I'm not seeking God for God, what's going to end up happening is I'm going to use the gift. I'm going to use the purpose, the function that God has placed on my life in the wrong way. Can I give you an example? Can I be so bold today to give an example and call a name drop? I'm going to call some people out. Ooh, Lord. All right. I'm not trying to judge, Pastor Dan. I learned my lesson from this morning. All right. How about Whitney Houston? Did you know that she started in the church? How about Elvis Presley? People gifted and talented by God. In fact, I still see commercials when I'm watching the news. Hey, you can buy Elvis Presley's, you know, his gospel album and all this kind of stuff. What? Elvis Presley? He wrote gospel music? All right, so I know this is a young adult service. Let me repackage this. Beyonce. Did you know that Beyonce started in the church? And so perhaps because people have not sought God for God, along the line, they become savvy to the gifts that God has deposited in. But because God is not involved, they use their gifts in the wrong way. And then some people are actually a little bit smart enough to, you know, I kind of see this gift and I think this is how God wants me to use it. But then it's powerless and it's ineffective in its using because it's without the personal and intimate knowledge of who God is. And so we need to make sure that when we seek God, when it comes to this purpose thing, rather, that our primary purpose is to seek God for God. I love the story in Matthew chapter 16. Let's turn there. This will be the first place that we actually turn. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. We'll begin reading verse number 13. Actually, these verses are some of the verses that this church was founded on. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. We find the story of Jesus and his disciples, let's go ahead and read it because I feel like maybe I should paraphrase since the time. Oh my gosh, the time. All right, Matthew 16, verse number 3. Let's try to do this. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" In other words, what are the people on Twitter posting right now? What does Instagram say? What is CNN reporting? What are my poll numbers look like? That's what Jesus is asking. Who do men say that I am? And so his disciples respond. Verse number 14. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said, okay. But who do you say that I am? All of a sudden now Jesus is asking for a personal acknowledgement of who he is. What sort of intimate knowledge do you have of me? You know, perhaps these disciples, as they journeyed with Jesus, perhaps they heard some of these reports. Oh, he might be Elijah. He might be, you know, he might be, what did it say there? Moses or who else? I forgot already. Anyway, yeah, Jeremiah, you know. Perhaps they heard some negative reports. Maybe some of these things were, you know, kind of rolling around in some of the disciples' mind about who Jesus was. But I love what happens next, because when Jesus asked this question, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter has this interaction with heaven. And in verse number 15, it says, verse number 16, it says, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had an interaction with heaven. All of a sudden, heaven revealed a facet of who God was and of who Jesus was. And Jesus acknowledges this. In fact, Jesus, you know, validates this. In verse number 17, it says, "So Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" You just had a personal, intimate interaction with heaven where I was revealed to you. Wow. And you know what happens next? Watch this. Verse number 18, and I say to you that you are Peter. I'll just throw this out at you real quick. When we begin to identify who Jesus is, all of a sudden we begin to find our identity. I like that. I'm not calling you Simon, son of Jonah anymore. I'm calling you Peter. I'm not just gonna categorize you in what's happened in the past or what you were destined from a child to just kind of follow and you think of yourself in terms of a fisherman, but I call you Peter. And upon this rock, I'm gonna build my church and the gates of hell are not gonna prevail against it. Now, what rock was he talking about? Obviously, he was talking about, you know, the realization that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And upon that intimate understanding, that knowledge, that revelation, God would build his church. That's what he's talking about there. All of a sudden now, it came in heaven's interaction, in this realization of who God was. All of a sudden, can I put it this way? We find God's purpose, that God wants to build his church. You want to know what else we find? We find God's promise that he's going to be involved in the building of his church. It's not anymore that I'm gonna go try to make this happen on my own. When we get to know God, we find our identity. When we get to know God, we find his purpose. And when we know God, we know he's gonna be involved in the purpose, in the purposes that he reveals. So seek God for God. Don't seek God for purpose. Purpose will come as you get to know God. I love this quote I found from Omar Nelson Bradley. He was a general in the U.S. Army, World War II. He said, we need to learn to set our course by the stars, not by the lights of every passing ship. One more time. I think that's so good. We need to learn to set our course by the stars, not by the lights of every passing ship. How many know today that Jesus is the bright and morning star, Revelation tells us. So seek God for God, and don't seek a purpose. Don't seek promotion. God will bring that to you. Listen, God has a purpose. We talked about it earlier, and nothing's gonna thwart God's purpose for your life. Amen. All right, number two, discovering your purpose requires completing the refining process. I got to go quickly now because I'm quickly running out of time. All right, what good is purpose without purity? What good is calling without character? No man or woman can climb beyond the limits of their character. And when they do, they crash and burn. How many times have we seen that, especially in the body of Christ today? The world needs to see the body of Christ have character and have purity and have integrity. What good is Instagram, a bunch of Instagram followers, if I don't have integrity? What good is Facebook without fidelity? Vogue on the outside, but vague on the inside. I think I ran out. But you get the point. God wants to, in order for us to have what it takes to fulfill the purpose, we've got to go through God's refining process. What does God's refining process look like? It looks like the desert. It looks like wilderness. You find this interesting character in the Bible. His name is John the Baptist. John the Baptist is really cool. And like since actually even before he was born, this is like God's purpose was all over his life, right? I mean, this guy, his dad was a priest. And you know that in his day that, you know, men would just, or sons would follow in the trade of their father, right? And so his dad was a priest. He was in line to be a priest. Like, already set up for the purposes of God. I mean, this guy, an angel announced his birth. Now, I don't think anybody here, an angel announced your birth, all right? So you just need to chill out. Okay, I'm just kidding. Right? An angel announces his birth. And not only that, but we see that God called him for this purpose, that he would prepare the way for Jesus Christ to arrive on the scene. Like, his job was to set the scene. He was, if you want to say it this way, he was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. And you know what? Actually, Jesus says a little bit later on in the story that of all the prophets, there was not one born among women like John the Baptist. I mean, this guy was like an amazing dude, all right? So So all of a sudden, you know, John is growing up. I'm just going to paraphrase, all right? John's growing up and he's excited about his future and God's purpose is all over it. And so I could imagine that, you know, as he got close to the age where it's time to go to, if you will, Bible college, right? He was looking at the different schools available, you know, the different teachers available. And he's, you know, I'm going to go to one of the most prestigious, you know, schools and I'm going to graduate with honors and I'm going to magna cum laude, whatever that stuff is. All right. You can tell I've never been to college like that. I never graduated with honors. I'm going to sit under the finest teachers and, you know, he probably had plans to go with some friends too. And right, and then all of a sudden, it comes time for him to go, and God's like, all right, John, this is where I want you to go, the desert. What? Are you serious, God? My dad's a priest. This has been lined up. Your angel announced my birth, all right? Like, there's all these dudes out there, prestigious schools, like, I could really do this thing, like, really good and give you a lot of glory. God's like, nope, I want you to go to the desert. And you'll read about John. John was dressed in animal skin. He had a leather belt and he ate locust. I mean, this dude was wildernessed out. But you know, it's interesting. We read in Luke chapter 3, verse number 2. Here we go. Here comes a contrast. While Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Did you catch it? Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. They wore the priestly robes. They had all the gear. They had all the acknowledgments. They had all the credentials. They had all the bestest and the finest and the brightest. And yet they ultimately missed Jesus Christ. And here you have a man who went to the wilderness, and the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to John there in the wilderness. What is the wilderness? It's God's training ground. What is the wilderness? It's a difficult and it's a trying place. A place where God gives you what you need and not what you want. A place where your dream seems like it's fading away, but where you learn to serve God anyway. This kind of goes along with the last point. Are you seeking God for purpose? Or are you seeking God for God? It's a place where your dream may seem like it's fading away, but where you learn to serve God anyway. It's a place where godly character is forged. A place where God prepares you to be the new wineskin so that he could fill you with new wine. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3 shows us this well. And it says, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Wait a second, God, which one is it? Did he allow them to hunger or did he feed them? I don't understand. Can you imagine eating manna, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 40 years? Nobody said praise God on that one, did they? The Bible says that as they traveled through the desert, that their clothes did not tarnish, their sandals did not wear out. Oh, that sounds pretty cool. Yeah. Can you imagine wearing the same outfit for 40 years? Actually, they prolonged the process. God didn't want them there that long. Aren't you thinking? Anyway, come on, we can say thank you, Jesus, to that one, right? But he gave them what they needed and not what they wanted. And I love the rest of this verse. It tells us why. That he might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. See, so often in life, we have our faith and we have our faith and our trust in the economy. We have our faith and our trust in Obama or Trump or whoever it is for you. We have faith in our, you know, our 401k, BG, you know, accounts and in our job and in our status and all of these things. But God needs us to understand that, hey, man can't live by those things alone. It doesn't make those things evil or bad, or that God doesn't want you to have them, but God needs you to understand that ultimately life requires a God-sized strength. Life requires a God-sized purpose. Life requires a God, and He is the only one who can give us what we need to take us through this life. But as long as you're trusting in other things, and as long as you're pursuing other things, we're going to be no different than the children of Israel. We're going to complain. We're going to gripe. We're going to want to go back to Egypt. Hello. Actually, you'll find that the Israelites, they said to God, like, really? We had man all this time? We want some meat. So what did God do? He gave them what they wanted. You know what Psalms tells us? So He gave them meat, but the consequence was leanness in their soul. You could have all the riches of the world, and if you don't have God, ultimately it's empty. Come on, somebody. And so we have to understand. And so God puts us in these wilderness seasons. No, God does not kill your relatives, and no, God does not give people cancer. That's not what we're talking about. All right? We're talking about God gives you what you need, but He doesn't give you what you want. I've just been working so hard. I deserve this new car. He gives you what you need, not what you want, so that He can forge character within you. The desert is a place where we learn the spiritual principles necessary for being successful in the next season. See, actually, the wilderness is a good place. The wilderness is a place where we should rejoice. Isn't that what the New Testament teaches us? When you find yourself in various trials, come on, you should consider it all joy. Why? Because what God is saying is, hey, I love you, and I have a purpose for you, and I have a plan for you. And while you think life is good right now, or you thought it was good before you got into my wilderness, you know, position, I've got better for you. But it took you getting here for me to teach you that, hey, there's better for you. And then not only that, but to give you the things and to establish the things in your heart and your life that you need to make it in the next season, so that you don't get to the next season and blow up. Man shall not live by bread alone. Do these words ring a bell? Did you know that Jesus quoted this to the devil? Anybody know where he was? In the wilderness. You know where Moses was when he received the call of God to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt? The wilderness. Do you think God's trying to say anything to us today? Yeah. Okay. Last point. If we're going to discover our purpose, it requires recognizing the season that you're in. All right? You feel like you're in the wilderness. It's not necessarily that you've sinned. Maybe you have. Sometimes we go into the wilderness and it's our own fault. Okay? But recognize the season that you're in and start looking for what God is wanting to do in your life and grab a hold of that. Most people, they get into the wilderness, and just like the children of Israel, they try and find the quickest escape. And so what happens? They abandon the process. Okay? You don't want to abandon the process. What does abandoning the process look like? You just had a breakup, and so you want to jump into the next relationship real quick. What does abandoning the process look like? It's time to leave this church and go find a better one. You know, here in America, we treat church like, like consumers. Like, I don't like this one, so I'm going to go find the next best thing. And people do damage to their lives spiritually when they're church hopping. It looks like being in a difficult position on your job. All right? I've given enough examples. We got to move on. But you want to recognize the season that you're in and don't abandon the process. Otherwise, you're going to have to start it over later. So you might as well go through it now. Or, again, people have abandoned the process and they've climbed the heights, but then because they abandoned the process, they blew up when they got there to what God has for them. All right? So we'll close this with this verse. Okay? Philippians 2, 12 and 13. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. If you got something good from God's word, come on, give Jesus a great big praise in the place.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.